Blog Talk Radio.
When the dead go.
The music cut off on us. Hi, everyone. This is Katie, and thank you for tuning in to Help for HD Live. Help for HD Live is brought to you by Help for HD International and is made possible by our sponsors, Teva Pharmaceutical and the Griffin Foundation. Today, we are lucky to have a special guest with us all the way from India. Roshni is here and is going to be talking to us about what all that's going on with India as far as prevalence and all that she's working on. So welcome to the show.
Hello.
Roshni, are you there? Hello. How are you?
Yes, I'm there. Yes, I'm fine. And what about you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. I would greatly appreciate to attend your Health for HD radio show and enhance my journey to fully understanding the Huntington disease and how to the best help patients and their families.
We're excited to have you. So go ahead and tell us about you and tell us about your work.
Okay. I'm a holder master degree in biotechnology, and I'm preparing to competitive PhD candidate examination. I hope to join the PhD program at Maharaja Sayajirao University of Baroda, India, and I'm to work with Dr. Ravi Vijayvargiya, who is the assistant professor at the Department of Biochemistry. He has worked in the HD field as a postdoctoral research at Massachusetts General Hospital. And currently, I am a volunteer with Dr. Shruti Shah, a neurologist who is a specialization in HD. Dr. Shah refers HD patients to me because of my strong interest in HD and my keenness of the ability to follow up with the care on a regular basis. Huntington disease is the autosomal dominant disease, having the varying age of onset. There is no epidemiological data at the prevalence of HD in India.
Are you there?
Can you hear me? Yes, I'm there.
Okay. Well, and so tell us
how did you become interested in Huntington's disease?
Because my area of interest is in neurodegenerative disease, mostly in a computational neuroscience. So I'm eagerly researching neurodegenerative disease. Previously, I researched beta amyloid protein Alzheimer's disease, and now I'm neuroxin and neurologin, neurodegenerative proteins. And now I'm hearing about the Huntington disease from my mentor, Dr. Ravi, and I'm influenced about this research.
Okay. So tell us about prevalence in India.
Gee? Yes?
Yes, yes.
Pardon?
How many people in India?
Okay, right now I'm a 16 HD patient. As you might imagine, we have a very limited resources to work with such a complex disease in India. And HD usually present in India is the early middle life with the abnormal movements, particularly scoria, together with the psychiatric symptoms, including psychosis, depression, aversive disorder, together with the progressive cognition. In India, I just found these cases. Mm-hmm. Estimated of the prevalence of HD suggests a more than tenfold difference between the region of across the world. It is problematic to predict genetic testing in family members who are at the risk of develop HD or in the people. The late onset of the scoria do not have the positive family history. The decision or test not to the test in HD complex because of has no treatment. A positive test suggested that the individual at the risk of developing HD in the future, the strong families in India among the Indians can be the great value.
So you're following right now 16 families.
Yes.
And how did you find those families?
Dr. Shruti Shah and my mentor, Dr. Ravi Vijayvargiya, are helping me a lot. We are collaborating at different institutions, different general hospital, private hospital, and we are spreading the awareness. We are just a write-up. We are advertising in a newspaper. We are just have a contact with several neurologists. And they are providing me a blood samples and I just did genetic testing in my lab.
Oh, so you're doing the genetic testing yourself?
Yes. But genetic testing is too problematic in India. Like with my direct experience with the HD patients and my research background, I will devote my life to the create a patient-centric focus in treating the HD patient and doing a research to effect a cure for this condition.
Oh, we're lucky to have you. They're lucky to have you in India working on this. Tell us about some of the research going on in India as far as stem cells or different things of that sort.
Yes. Okay, my area of interest is apart from the HD patient study are the systems biology and development of human stem cells, a potential treatment for the Huntington disease. Stem cells are the miracle cells, like just as a wood box degrades and consume wood. The Huntington disease analogously eats up the human brain. There is no stopping for wood box, but sure, stem cells are the ray of hope for Huntington disease. Basically, Huntington disease degenerates the human brain, and there is a localization degeneration of neurons, mainly neostriatum or basal ganglia. The degeneration of median spiny neuron derived from the dorsal domain and ventral tympanum. Oh no, this is all at the medicinal language. I know that. The genetically speaking, HD that's caused by the CAG trinucleotide repeats. You know everything. Then expansion and the IT15 gene, which is outcome from the lengthening of the polyglutamine like PL, PolyQ, and CAG repeats. The genetically inheritable disorder, the patient has experienced the clinical symptoms like scoria, intellectual decline, motor incoordination, usually in the third and fourth decade of life. The current therapeutic approach aims at relieving symptoms as there is no definitive cure. But stem cells have potential.
How are you getting the stem cells to the brain?
Stem cells have a potential and also challenges during the transplantation study, I just found. Like stem cells have a great hope to treating the different neurological disorders, owing the ability to maintain the cell signal and differentiate it into various cell types. The role of stem cell therapy in a change of the milieu degenerated stem cells, the introducing the normal stem cells and functioning the stem cells. Like create immunomodulatory growth factors and many more. But there all are the challenges overcome during transplantation.
Have you guys in India, are you guys working on different methods of transplantations and what are they?
Okay, we are working on the transplantation in my study, not the human study. Most commonly, I'm working with the mesenchymal stem cells.
Mesenchymal stem cells. Okay, that's what you're working with right now.
No, like, but mesenchymal stem cells have challenges and also the potential. Like they are most found in the bone marrow and umbilical cord and adipose tissues. And the repaired neurodegenerative secretion tropic factors, proteins. But the mesenchymal stem cells have limitations about they are converted in the neuron stem cells and implanting for site formation showing the limited permeation size. The major advantages of the mesenchymal stem cells easy of isolation, lack of the ethical issues. And there is no rejected because MCS have a low level of MHC class 2 protein. And the plus point is it's immune resistance. So mesenchymal stem cells is relatively good during transplantation studies.
And then, what vehicles are you guys using to transplant? Are you guys using like a virus? Are you guys going straight into it? How is it being transplanted? How is it getting to the brain, the cells?
It's a direct intraventricular injection and during the transplantation. Like it's a directly intraventricular injection to be injected in the basal ganglia. It's a part of the human brain. Mice brain. Sorry. We are not working with the humans currently. We are working with the mice.
Yeah.
Somehow the people are also working with the human fetal stem cells. But the fetal stem cells have ethical issues and many more. There is no banking possibilities, no standardization occurs. And the fetal stem cells is required 3 to 5 months fetal.
Okay, that brings me to a question. In India, do you guys have the ethical issues about using embryonic stem cells as well? In India,
yes.
Like
yes.
That arose here in America?
Yes, embryonic stem cells is a worldwide ethical issue, like regulatory issues
mm-hmm.
and ethical issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the risk of the tumorigenesis. And another one, the disadvantage is for the embryonic stem cells, that is the cell differentiation product, that is the no GMP, like, and
mm-hmm.
also risk of the tumorigenesis, genetic instability occurs in using the embryonic stem cell, and the risk of the viral vectors. And another risk of the using the embryonic stem cell, the impurity of the cell differentiation product.
Mm. So
But advantages of embryonic stem cells, they are the highly self-renewable. They have a pluripotency property, and they are US FDA approved by the clinical trials.
Mm-hmm. And the mesenchymal stem cells seem to be a safer, stem cell.
Yeah, mesenchymal stem cells have advantages, like they have a self-renewable protein property. They have a multipotency, and they induce the neuronal precursor. Like neuronal precursor, like the BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic hormone, GLIAL-derived
mm-hmm.
neurotrophic
mm-hmm.
hormone. There's no risk of the tumorigenesis using the mesenchymal
mm-hmm.
stem cell and secrete the neuro-repair
mm-hmm.
factors. But the disadvantage
mm-hmm.
is about the mesenchymal stem cells, they have the heterogeneous population and insufficient neuronal differentiation, impurity of the cell differentiation product. And another
mm-hmm.
thing, the induced pluripotent stem cells, the IPS, IPS is a highly self-renewable. They have a pluripotency property, and they have IPS have the major advantages, that is the modelization in Huntington disease, and IPS
mm-hmm.
have no ethical issues. And MPS, they are using it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys using IPS in the lab? Oh, fantastic. Okay.
Yes, we are using IPS in our lab, and there's an easily accessible bag, like it's easily available in the high self-renewal property, and IPS also derived from the adult and fetal stem cells. But ICF have some kind of the pros and cons, like the ICF have also rather risk of tumorigenesis, genetic instability, impurity of cell differentiation, and the viral
mm-hmm.
vectors occur in the IPS.
Mm-hmm. I actually got to meet at the stem cell conference Dr. Nakiato, who actually came up with IPS, you know. So I got to meet him. He's amazing. So I've got to hear him talk about his cell, the IPS
yeah.
cells in quite deep, like extensive detail. So
okay. But now like dental pulse stem cells, there is a novel stem cells. Dental pulse stem cells is a stromal stem cells. It's using the personalized stem cell therapy. Wherein the stromal stem cells can be directly isolated from their tooth pulp, and patients are the healthy individuals. The greatest advantage is using the DPCS, like dental pulse stem cells, is that isolation can be done respectively at the age. There is no ethical issue that have been tested by the HD monkey housed under the guideline of the Institution of the Animal Care and using the committee. Approve the procedure of trials, the human are avoided with successful trials. Humans can be great use of the golden standardized mesenchymal stem cells to be used to have the isolation painful surgical procedure from the bone marrow. Mesenchymal stem cells have disadvantages, have a surgical procedure, but also better the ex vivo expansion and the neurogenic potential hold to be the being offered by the interstringly continuation, the medium of secretum. But DPCS have the rapidly neuroprotective properties. So
mm-hmm.
I think in the stem cell transplantation, future is the dental pulse stromal stem cells. It's a personalized reductive stem cells.
And do you guys in India, what is your regulatory? Do you guys have someone that oversees the stem cell, any type of new therapy that's being tested in humans? Do you guys have regulatory, like we in the United States have the FDA? Do you guys have that same regulatory system in India?
Yes, we have a regulatory system. We have a protocol. but we have a very limitation. So we cannot trial study as mice or monkey, or in case of the rabbit and Drosophila, but we are not directly trial as a human.
Do you think
through the different phases and then do the research on humans? Will you be able to
During my stem cell transplantation in mice, the stem cell transplantation with the cell proliferate for the tumors. After the transplantation, depending on the type of the stem cells, it's a proliferative capacity, and then site of transplantation, the complicated situation would occur. Therapy is wonderful. In appropriate stem cell migration, the neurological complications may be also occur. The potential clinical symptoms due to the aberrant stem cell migration after transplantation, the predicted pathological condition, they may lead to the inflammation and subsequently event. The graft acceptability of the self and remains an issue. So moreover, the transplantation procedure associated risk of the 3% intracerebral hemorrhage and the post-preparative infection remains occur. The risk also depends on the brain anatomy and the post-preparative care. And the more main challenges remain the cost-effectiveness and affordability, which severely compromise the treatment of the patient in developing countries. So I just say that the transplantation, we just find research, and the transplantation therapy could be the more cheaper. So Huntington disease HD patients can affordable there, like in India or several countries.
We definitely are pro stem cell therapies.
IPSCs are more expensive. And I say that the mesenchymal stem cells are converted into neural stem cell, and then the transplantation surgery that are more expensive. The same year, like the dental pulse stem cell, they're converted with the IPSCs, then transplantation, that is even more expensive. Because we cannot isolate it. The isolation procedure is very expensive and cost effective. But my future aspect, like the hydrodynamic modulation of isolated stem cells, can be improved the therapeutic approach in HD, being the inherited autosomal dominant disease. Awareness and preventive measures must be taken once detected for the future generation. Studies are being carried out with the view of improving survival in HD patients. The investigation of regarding why the neural cells become overexcited by the certain brain chemical, the possibility of the preventing the neural cells degeneration are underway. Nowadays, CRISPR-Cas9 and TALEN, the gene silencing tools, we are just calling in the medical terminology and research terminology, CRISPR-Cas9 and TALEN, they are super. The gene silencing also being testing at the non-primate models like the mice, monkey, and all these things, models which is involved in snipping off of the mutant Huntington gene and the replacing with the non-mutant Huntington gene. Nowadays, this is synthetic biology. You may heard about synthetic biology.
No, we definitely are hearing a lot about CRISPR and snipping and stuff in the United States right now in the gene silencing. We're definitely hearing a lot about that.
Okay, I'll just elaborate it because for Cas9 and TALEN. Synthetic biology has a paramount role in the neural stem cells development. The great possibility are being offered the new kind of gene therapy. And that is causing the great excitement among the scientists. Well-known CRISPR-Cas9 and TALEN are used in a synthetic biology. This technique uses the defense mechanism and discovered in the bacteria, snip out, and defective part of the gene replacing with the normal gene sequence.
And are you guys working on those? Are you working on that in India as well?
Yeah, CRISPR-Cas9 working on in India. The kit is very costly, but transplantation procedure is very cost effective. So we are using CRISPR-Cas9 as a mouse model.
Okay. That makes sense. Well,
About how many people in India do you think are affected by Huntington's?
I can't hear. How many people I have found in the 16 family, only in the two states, Gujarat and Rajasthan. The people are very collaborative with me, and the people are very supportive. And the age of onset is only the 35 only. I found in India the early age of onset in Huntington disease, and their CAG repeat is very high, like 45, 55, 60 above. But
that's interesting.
I can't find a juvenile HD in India. I think the migration of the Britishians or some kind of the nutritional abnormalities or some kind of the genetic abnormalities, Huntington disease found in India. I have in family, in this family have all person have a HD and they are very suffering. I just conclude the one thing that Huntington is a social monster.
Yes.
So we fight this Huntington disease, and I hope we find the best treatment and best transplantation treatment and the best medicines. And I'm also working with the polyglutamine protein, Huntington protein, as a computational neuroscience. So I'm modeling the protein and they're modeling the protein roles, and I'm still finding the Huntington protein roles in the brain.
Well, it's exciting for us in the U.S. to hear, I think all of us, when we get to hear all these different collaborations and different things that are happening all over the world, and to hear that there's brilliant minds like you that are working hard on Huntington's in your labs in India, and working on all these different types of therapies and different things. And hopefully one day we will get one that works and that we can help Huntington's families, like you were saying.
Yes, of course. Actually, rather than America, U.S., but Europe have a very high prevalence of the Huntington disease, I found.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting that you were talking about migration and the CAGs in India being a little bit different.
I just think about there's some kind of the nutritional abnormalities, some kind of the genetic abnormalities, and some kind of, I think people are migrate from the India to Britain and Britain to the India. So Huntington disease, I think on Huntington disease is spreading this India. But in 1992, the data of this from Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, and Gujarat, Rajasthan, and Punjab. Only three states are found in a Huntington disease. But the data of 2016, all over the India found in the Huntington disease, like South India, North India, West India, and East India. The all are part of the India. Every single patient found in the Huntington disease. And not in the Huntington. Huntington is the analogous to various diseases, like a prion disease, mad cow disease.
It's funny you say that because I don't know if you read Hopes out of Stanford here in the United States. They actually wrote a paper about migration, and it's interesting that you've only found it in a couple states. And yeah, it would make sense. The whole migration thing, I think, is really going to start being looked at.
I think U.S. prevalence in genetic migration, like the people are Irish, then British, then they are moved from the America. More chances about the Huntington disease, but we can't prove that thing. We can't go back to the history and we can't prove that all these things. It's like genetic mutations occur. But scientists and we are investigators are still finding the research how Huntington disease occurs in our human brain. And in India, I was working with the AD, HD, and PD, like Alzheimer's disease and beta amyloid protein. And Parkinson disease, movement disorder, mostly in dystonia and deep brain stimulation therapy. And another is a Huntington disease. Huntington disease, particularly my PhD subject, and my mostly the stem cell transplantation procedure in a Huntington disease.
Oh wow!
Yeah, thank you.
So you're working on a lot of different things.
Yeah, very different thing I'm handling that. Like, I'm also handling the systems biology. System biology is a revolutionary study, and I can say that system biology is a ray of hope for the Huntington disease.
Mm.
And well, nowadays I'm making the in silico biochemical pathway of Huntington protein, like basal ganglia to median spiny neuron and the signaling. And nowadays the Huntington disease inflammation, like median spiny neuron inflammation, is the hot topic of the Huntington disease research.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, a lot of people are talking about the role that inflammation plays in this. I know one of the things she said is that Huntington's is found to be more common in a population which contains a high carbohydrate levels. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
That you were saying that there's about the what was Sharon about?
It's more common in populations that have high carbohydrate levels.
The more common in Indian population, I found the motor neuron disease. Every HD patient have a motor neuron disease, and mainly found as chorea. They are like abnormal dancing. And the main age of onset is 25 to 35. My 5 HD patients have age of onset 35, 33, 34, and 31.
Yeah, I think we misunderstood her, Sharon. She was talking about, she was talking about the Korean symptom onset and stuff of that sort.
Mm-hmm. Right, but generally it's mid-30s. But I was wondering
was
about the carbohydrate thing. You know, does it mean that people with Huntington's should eat a low carb diet?
I don't think she meant carbohydrates. I think we misunderstood her. I think she was talking about Korea. You didn't say. Did you say something, Roshni, about carbohydrates?
Yes, carbohydrate. My one research is a beta amyloid protein, and I use it since 2014 when I was a master's student. I was found that the carbohydrate level, the South Indian people are mostly, they are fatty people. They intake rice like breakfast, dinner, and lunch. So I researched that they people have intake the more and more carbohydrate, the chances of Alzheimer's the people have are high, because the carbohydrate can degrade the glial cells, and the chances of Alzheimer's is more high because the fatty people.
Oh, that's so interesting. I missed that.
Okay, like the fatty people have more chances for the AD, Alzheimer's disease, and like the age of the 16 and 17. The carbohydrate can be degrade the neurons later on, age of onset. And under research, I'm working with the neurexin and neurologin protein. Neurexin and neurologin protein are brain proteins. But during the point mutation, neurologin and neurexin protein, they are biosignaling protein in brain. They are miracle protein. I just say one thing, they are magical protein in our brain. But neurexin and neurologin point mutation that cause myeloid leukemia in our body. This is my second research in 2015. And I published a human system biology research paper. I'm just talking about the human system biology, basically.
Yeah, and I saw that paper.
Are you interested about human system biology? It's a very great thing, and it's a very emerging field.
Yeah, I did see that paper.
Biology.
Sharon, I think we could put that paper, her paper that she just published out, that's really interesting.
Yeah, of course. Human system biology. Coordinates of the computational biology of the human health and disease. So there's a couple of instances in the contrast cellular, molecular, and structural biology. HSB is a relatively new field of the network analysis and systems biology. That focusing on the high quality databases, the analysis of data, and they are generated with the system biology and a network medicine. approached the generation of the testable hypothesis. HSV, like human system biology, is originally emerged as ameliorate the drug discovery developmental process. However, HSVs nowadays play the elaborating the paramount role in many areas of the proteomics, genomics, metabolomics, biophysics, and the biomedical engineering. HSV can be also be applied in new drug invention in the pharmaceutical industry. So, one sentence I just concluded that human system biology is relating the human disease, new drug application, and whole organ modeling.
Yeah, well, we will definitely share that paper. I saw you posted it, and it's public, so we'll definitely share that out for people to see. We'll put that up on the, we can put that up on the show page too, Sharon. I'm trying to get it up right now, but I can't get it up. But we can
okay.
Definitely post that later. Yeah, we definitely can post that later. So Roshni, is there anything else you would like to talk about before we're kind of running out of time, but. Do you have any final thoughts you would like to talk about? It's been so exciting having you on the show today, and thank you so much for taking time to come on out of your busy schedule to talk to us.
It's my immense pleasure to be contacted by you and help for HD. I'm always ready to help the HD patient and their family, and the spreading awareness, it's a very nice thought.
Well, we are glad to have made contact with you, and definitely are happy to collaborate with you and talk about all that you're doing over in India and share it with us, share it over the radio and with everyone. So I think we can draw a conclusion to the show now. Are you done? Do you have anything else, Roshni? I don't want to cut you off at all. Is there anything else before we go?
Okay. I just one thing. When will I see my patient and my patient are questioning me, is there any cure of the Huntington disease? And I'm speechless, but my inner voice to say that the Huntington disease, it have treatment, and we will find the treatment. We will cure this treatment.
Hopefully one day, right?
Left.
Yes.
Yes, one day we will find this treatment. One day we will all HD patients have a smile. All HD patients have more top leaks.
We are all waiting for that day. Yes, yes. All right, well, I think we can conclude the show from here. Thank you so much, Roshni, for coming on. And I tune in next week. We have actually Vicki Owen and Sharon Recor coming on. They just attended a law enforcement agent, the Florida chief. Sharon, you're going to have to tell me, correct me if I'm wrong. The Florida Police Association's annual summer conference and exposition. And Help for HD International actually had an exhibit table there, and they got to come face-to-face with law enforcement agents from up and down the state of Florida. So lots of HD Awareness Day was happening at that event. And, HD Awareness was happening at that event. So we are excited to interview them tomorrow. And then on the 31st, we actually have Annie Mack coming on from Scotland. So that should be a fun show.
Yeah, remember, this is 31st August.
The what?
31st August, I remember these things, and I updating the Facebook.
Oh, good. Okay. Yes. And we'll definitely, and once you get that up, we can also put it on the show page for people to see as well.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, are you talking about Annie Mack coming on? So we will talk to you guys all next week. Same time, same place. So tune in and we'll talk to you then. Have a good night.
Okay. Bye.